Ken Bickle's opinions and those of his guests don't necessarily reflect those of KXL or its advertisers.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to KXL Midday. Just pouring a cup of coffee for our first guest. Jim Bickle here. Nice to have you with us on another gorgeous day in the Pacific Northwest. For those of you who are just passing through, why don't you stop off, visit a while, stick around, see some of the things that we have here in Oregon and in the Portland metro area. Okay? And keep Midday with you. We'll keep things interesting for you during the 10 o'clock hour. Deborah Murphy will be our guest. She's going to join us by telephone. Was a prostitute, says she's gotten out of the business. She was the prostitute that brought Jimmy Swaggart down to his knees. Interesting story. There are a number of things, however, in that story that that I have questions about, and you may too. Deborah Murphy with us at 10 o'clock. At 11, sound off, an opportunity for you to do just that. We can discuss whatever you want to discuss. It's a chance for you to, well, sound off. Voice your opinion, your thoughts. What the heck, you got them? Share them. You'll find some other folks that agree with you, and probably find some that disagree too, but that's okay. At least we can get together and chat about it. The last time I spoke with our first guest this morning, I woke him up, and I think it was about 5:30 in the morning. This morning, it's a much better time, and I'm pleased that the former governor of the state of Oregon, Vic Atiyah, could join us for an hour this morning. Nice to see you, sir.
Well, it's great to be back here. I tell you, this is marvelous diggings you've got here. This is pretty classy stuff.
Well, yeah, you haven't seen the
no,
new,
I haven't.
Same building, just a new studio that we're in here.
Great.
Nice to see you, sir.
Thank you.
How's the consulting business, first of all?
Going very well. I've done quite a bit of traveling. I learned a long time ago in the family business that you can't sit at home and wait for the phone to ring, so I've been out knocking on doors, and it's really working quite well. The consulting part of it is doing well. The trade part is interesting. Someone said that's going to take, you know, a while to get that going. I said, now wait a minute, I don't have the same amount of time as I used to, but it's slow, but it's also working. It's very fascinating work.
Is Oregon saleable as well? I mean, are you selling Oregon?
Yeah, you know, I just can't stop that. Of course, I'm in business for myself, but I'm still making calls to people that we called on as potential prospects when I was governor, and I just call, and a courtesy visit, I call it, just keep touch and keep telling about the wonders of Oregon, and I'll continue to do that. I really, of course, I love Oregon, and I honestly, truly believe it's in their best interest. In other words, I'm trying to do them a favor. That's the way I feel about it. So I just keep making those calls.
Cold calling, part of the business.
That's right. You bet.
You know, I'm sitting here looking at an Oregonian article from June 2nd, and the headline was Goldschmidt tells what kind of lawmaker gets his vote. He seeks legislators who would not fear breaking the spending limit. Quoting, "We need to get people in the legislature who will make this machinery run." There is a spending limit. It sounds like this governor does not want to abide by it.
No, that's been very clear to me for a long time. For some time, he said he wasn't going to break the spending limit. Now he's very boldly saying he wants to do that. And that's just a different mental attitude. When I was governor, I always thought of the tax dollar as something that people gave us. They worked hard to earn the money, and it was our job to spend it like they would spend it. His attitude is, as he quoted, you know, he wants people that are willing to do something. Well, to him, that means spending money. That's just the difference. I'll tell you something interesting. When I was developing our budgets, and I used to work on them myself, and we deal with a budget that ranges on a biennial about $12 billion, general fund budget, something like $6 billion, $7 billion. So I'm working on budgets, and some of my agency's folks would say, well, now, Governor, this is only $75,000. Well, in the context of that many billion, that's not very much. But I'd say to them, well, how would you like to have that in your checking account? And all of a sudden, it becomes real money. You know, you can relate to that. Well, that's the attitude that I had. And I really think the state of Oregon did quite well. Of course, we went through a recession, but we watched it very carefully. We made some hard choices. We did take care of the people that were in desperate need, and I feel very good about it. Well, his attitude's entirely different. I could tell you, even in terms of budget, he almost doubled the governor's budget his first year out. I find that incredible. I know how I ran my office, and I say, how come you need almost twice as much? Actually, it was a 60% raise in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's who he is, and actually, there's nothing much wrong with it. I'm one person, he's another. He's going to have to face the voters. If he wants to run for a re-election, they can decide if they want that kind of a governor.
Weren't there times, though, when you were sitting on that budget, when you looking at that budget, when you said to yourself, oh, I wish we could get rid of this spending limit and didn't have the thing?
No, not once. Matter of fact, we didn't even concern ourselves with it. By that, I mean we knew it was there, but we were never, ever near the spending limit. Incidentally, there's two limits. One is a spending limit. The other is a limit in the number of state employees that can be hired. So there's two limits. He didn't talk about that one. But, no, we just were never close to it. So it was not something I keep checking with the budget division. Are we close to the spending limit? You know, we never really got to that kind of a conversation.
And a cut that the last legislature came up with that has been extremely controversial, and that is one that cut funding for certain transplant operations. Let me take a timeout, sir, and we'll get into that. We'll also get some listeners into the conversation. Former governor of the state of Oregon, Vic Atiyah, is with us this morning on Midday. Republican, probably should mention that. It is an election year.
Yeah.
You gone to the convention?
No.
No?
That's by my choice. So I did file a run, but decided I didn't want to go and probably could have been elected. But I just assumed... Watch it on television.
You and TJ get along okay?
Yeah.
19 minutes past 9 o'clock. Former Governor Atiyah is with us. You can, too, at 231-7575. You know, for the past, let's see, I am into my fourth week on Nutrisystem weight loss centers, and it's working like a champ, I got to tell you, folks. It feels so nice when people come up to you and say, wow, you look so much slimmer and healthier. You know, you can, too. Sure. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds. There are plenty of success stories with people with that much weight and more. People have thought, I'll never be able to lose weight. Well, that's because the diets you've tried have been just that, diets. You lose a few pounds, you go off the diet, you figure you failed, and then you go right back up again. Avoid the yo-yo syndrome. Call Nutrisystem Weight Loss Centers. Behavior education classes every week. You'll see a nutritionist. They have counselors there. Foods that actually taste pretty darn good, a lot better than you'd think. Yeah, it's not just a milkshake diet. I get breakfast, lunch, dinner, three snacks a day. And the weight is coming off, and I know it's going to stay off. Look, this is the last week of double discount days at Nutrisystem. Get $100 off your program cost and $100 in free food. So call Nutrisystems today. Look in the phone book. There are locations in Beaverton, Clackamas, Gresham, Lloyd Center, Vancouver, Lake Oswego. In downtown Portland, talk to Dawn at 295-2908. And in Tualatin, it's Tom Slevin at 691-1220. Nutrisystem Weight Loss Centers working for me. Talk to them. See if it'll work for you.
KXL Midday Conversation. 231-7575. 231-7575.
There's only one word to describe KeyBank's great new value checking account. It's free. Free! I mean, imagine that. Free checking. I just love it.
Check out of your bank. Check into mine. Move your money ahead. Leave those fees behind.
Free. Free.
That's the way it should be.
Free. Free.
Now you're using your key.
KeyBank introduces free checking. Free checking with a minimum balance of just $100. $100, that's it. There are no per-check charges, no limit on the checks you can write, no monthly fees. KeyBank even pays for your first order of personalized checks. Free. I like the sound of that.
Checking is free when you use your KeyBank.
Check into free checking today at KeyBank. Member FDIC. Free. Now that's a nice price.
There is no way I'm going out of this garage in this weather.
You don't understand.
Yes, I do.
You're the car.
Right.
I'm the driver.
Uh-huh.
All I have to do is take this key, shove it in, give it a turn, and we're going.
You can torture me all you want, poke keys in me. I'm not leaving this garage. It's raining spark plugs and pistons out there, my friend.
Spark plugs and pistons?
Hard. It's raining hard.
Yeah.
Well, look, what's the matter with you?
Look at my tires.
Yeah?
These are not Kelly all-season radials.
I
don't set tire out of the garage until I get some Kelly all-season radials. They have a tire for every car and every budget.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody knows Kelly's got a good deal and a great tire.
Exactly.
All right, you win. We'll get you the Kelly tire.
You promise?
How can we do it if you're not going to leave the garage?
There's only two ways you can get out of this garage.
All right.
You wait till it stops raining.
Yeah.
Or you can ask Stinky the riding lawnmower over there in the corner to drive
what?
Yeah.
Will you take me? What?
Everybody knows riding lawnmowers can't talk.
Want a good deal on a great tire? Get Kelly. Visit your neighborhood Kelly dealer or Montgomery Ward Auto Express during the savings explosion.
23 minutes past 9 o'clock. We're back to midday. I'm Jim Bickle, our guest, Vic Attia, former governor of the state. And we're taking a look at the state today. What, 18 months? Just about 18 months.
That's right, yeah.
Since you left office.
Exactly.
Seem longer or shorter?
Gosh, no.
You miss it?
No. I really don't.
How about the wife?
No, she definitely doesn't. She was very, very supportive, but it's very difficult on spouses when you're in public life. I had 28 years, 20 years in the legislature, 8 years as governor. When I say I don't miss it, of course I miss the people. I miss traveling in Oregon. I miss the people that I worked with in state government. But it was 8 years. I mentally prepared myself for it. The time was up, and something else to do, which is now the business we talked about earlier. So, as a matter of fact, it was 3 weeks after I left office, and all of a sudden I said to myself, you know, this is the first time in 28 years I haven't been down there when the legislature was in session. So it took me 3 weeks to figure that one out. No, I made the transition very easily.
You've heard the stories, you've seen it. The legislature opted to cut funding for certain transplant operations. Some look at that situation and say, "Hey, here's Oregon not taking care of its own." What do you say?
I find this really interesting that it's even an issue. We dealt with that question when I was governor, and I would say it. Well, remember, and Oregonians do, we were real tough straits. We had difficulty with our budgets. We were cutting budgets. But we dealt with it. We took care of it. Now it's a three-ring circus. The families that need that have to go out and raise money, and we lost a little boy, and I found this very difficult. The legislators and the administration were talking philosophically about this. Well, should we or shouldn't we, you know, and philosophy. Any other man, yeah. I really have trouble dealing with that. So, it wasn't an issue while I was there, and you have to ask, why wasn't it an issue? Well, because we were dealing with it, and we were dealing with it because we're dealing with real human beings that were in desperate need. I used that word earlier, desperate need.
Do you think this public-private partnership that's been discussed will work efficiently? I know in the case of one fundraising event, the corporation, the organization that was leading the fundraising had not filed their papers for nonprofit status. Don't know if they still have or not, to tell you the truth. Does it lend itself to a mismanagement of funds when you get that kind of a...
Well, when you run into technical problems, like you just mentioned, and you've got laws that you have to abide by, and I think that's appropriate, you abide by them, and so you complicate the whole process. Actually, there aren't that many folks that... are in that desperate need and do need transplants. We're not talking about a whole universe of people. We're talking about a small number. And it really shouldn't be a major issue. It's something that I believe that the state should pay for. These people do need help, and they should be helped. And I think that's what our tax dollars are for. Yeah. The whole thing in terms of budgets, Jim, are just a matter of priority, where you want to put money. I mentioned earlier that the governor raised my budget $1,200,000. So he just soon put $1,200,000 in his office, but he's unwilling to spend a few thousand dollars for transplants. You know, this is the kind of, that's what I talk about priorities. It's the kind of priority decisions that I wouldn't make it that way. I'd make the reverse of that.
May I add $36,000 more a year for the maintenance on the governor's mansion, something that does Vic Attia mind paying some tax dollars to maintain a governor's mansion?
Well, you know, whether I mind or not, it wasn't a surprise to me, as we talked about earlier. I think it was a little naive if anyone really thought that they were going to get a free lunch or a free house, whichever way you want to look at it. I always assumed that the taxpayers would have to pay for it. That's this new mansion that the governor has. So it's there. Incidentally, in terms of the general philosophy of should there be a governor's residence, which is the term I use, it's a matter of size, I think there should be. All past governors, including myself, we used our own furnishings, our own dishes, our own silverware, our own chairs, and for 8 years. I don't know if really the people of Oregon really should expect that much from a governor.
You get to depreciate that stuff, did you?
Well, it was depreciated, but not in terms of dollars.
28 minutes past 9 o'clock. We are chatting with former Republican governor of the state of Oregon, Vic Atiyah, this morning. And why don't you join the conversation at 231-7575. We'll take a timeout. That'll give you a chance to join in. We have a number of things to chat with Mr. Atiyah. When we come back to the conversation on KXL.
We bought a bargain sofa at some other store, Mr. Sine.
Oh, yeah, some bargain. Didn't even last as long as the payment.
Come on, don't low prices usually mean low quality?
Joseph Sine, founder chairman, RB Furniture.
At some places, low price means low quality, but not at RB Furniture. When we cut our prices, we didn't cut our quality. Take our upholstered furniture, for example. It's still made in our own factory, the right way, by hand, with hardwood frames.
What about the furniture that RB doesn't make, Mr. Sine?
RB Furniture still carries the same quality we've always had. Our famous name furniture still comes from famous manufacturers like Lane, Bassett, and Stanley. The only difference is, at RB, you'll get this quality at the lowest prices in town every day. Even lower than other stores' sale prices. Guaranteed.
Now we don't have to search around town for bargains or wait for sales anymore.
That's right. Because now all you have to do is come to RB Furniture. The right furniture, the lowest prices.
If you're thinking of leasing a Jaguar, putting a middleman in the picture can obscure the many advantages of leasing directly from your authorized Jaguar dealer. That's because most middlemen can do only one thing, lease you a car. But your Jaguar dealer is staffed and equipped to meet all your needs. He's a Jaguar expert, offering you custom-tailored leases on a large selection from the full line of Jaguars. A middleman might not. And because a middleman isn't an authorized Jaguar dealer, you can't look to him for service after you lease. No mere leasing company can provide the confidence of factory-authorized service by factory-trained Jaguar technicians. So if you're thinking of leasing a Jaguar, it makes sense to eliminate the middleman. See the Monty Shelton Motor Company at 1638 West Burnside in Portland.
Come join the march. John Davidson is coming live at Meredith Wilson's The Music Man.
76 Bob Homestead Big Parade with 110 cornets right behind. Well, you got trouble, my friend, right here in River City. With a capital T and that rhymes with P and that stands for fool.
Can John Davidson save River City Junction from the depths of degradation? Find out as the All-American Musical returns.
Oh, I never heard it at all till there was
the great songs of America's favorite motion picture and Broadway musical are back in all their splendor. Hollywood Square's John Davidson, Another World's Sally Spencer. Come join the parade with the land's favorite band. Live on stage, Meredith Wilson's The Music Man.
Don't miss John Davidson in The Music Man, June 28th through July 3rd at Civic Auditorium. Best seats available through Ticketmaster at G.I. Joe's or Galleria Gene Machine or phone 248-4496.
Midday continues from KXL News Radio 750.
63 degrees in Portland at 931, on our way up to a high of 85 degrees today, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is in the opposite direction, going down. The Dow down 3.56 at 20,80.37 on 81 million shares. The advanced decline ratio is even. Maybe everybody's just kind of kicking back and waiting to see what happens with Detroit and L.A. tonight. I don't know. But the Dow is down 3.56 at 20,80.37. We're chatting with Vic Atiyah this morning, governor, about a year and a half ago, for 8 years in the state, 20 years in the state legislature. And now he is a businessman once again.
Back to being businessman.
Back to being a businessman. George and Selwood, good morning. You're on KXL. Howdy.
Hi.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, the governor, the former governor, indicated that the state should take care of transplants, which the people involved could not finance. And I wondered if during his term, if the transplants had exceeded the budgeted amount, what part of his other budget he would have gone to, other than the emergency fund, to fund these things.
Well, I really have to give you a technical answer, and I don't really like to do that, but between sessions, the only avenue you have in moving money back and forth is the emergency fund. The governor doesn't have the latitude to move from one agency to another agency. We don't have that latitude. So, unfortunately, my answer is a technical answer, and that's because of the law, and that I'd have to go to the emergency board in that event. But we never did get to that point in regard to transplants.
Okay.
All right, George, thank you. There's a line open at 231-7575. Of course, funding was always a concern during your 8 years as governor. You went through some tough economic times. We went through how many property tax limitation attempts?
Yep.
And now we still have school funding problems. It hasn't changed for decades. Some say it still may not. However, we are once again faced with a legislature who is going to have to do something. It sounds like Governor Goldschmidt, with his children's agenda and a number of other programs, is trying to get the legislature fired up. But it seems that every time it gets fired up, we still come back to those same two words, and that's sales tax.
That's right.
And you know what happened?
Yeah, well, I know. I'll tell you this, that in all the 28 years, property tax relief was an issue. 28 years, certainly must have been before that. And it's not been resolved. Now, the reason, I think, basically, is that in order to do it, you really do have to have a sales tax. Now, the reason I say that is that Oregon has a very high income tax, and it is a deterrent to economic development and economic growth in the state of Oregon. So you can't really go to that. We're talking about large amounts of money. And Oregonians just aren't going to be passing the sales tax. And they've told us that about as loud and clear as they can do it for so many times. And there was, you know, I keep trying to analyze the whole thing, and because what the only time I supported it was 1985, and it was a very, very good tax plan. And I was on a tax committee for 20 years. Very good. Best one I'd ever seen. And they defeated it soundly. And I could think, you know, a lot of it, of course, is this natural disinclination for a sales tax. But then we have a lot of people that have come from other states. Oregon is one of, I think, four states in the nation that doesn't have one. So now people move from other states where there was a sales tax, come to this great oasis of Oregon where there isn't a sales tax, and they say, hey, we got a pretty good deal here. So we've got a lot of people who have moved in. They also say there's no sense starting it. So it just isn't going to happen. That's all.
At one point, didn't Vic Atiyah say, however, that that I would never sign a sales tax measure if it came across my desk?
Oh, sure. But you understand, I still believe it. If it's single purpose sales tax just to raise some more money, I'd never do it. The plan I was involved with in 1985 was really balanced. It was cutting income taxes. It was reducing property taxes. You know, the whole thing. It was in the Constitution. All of those things that really are important and should be done. So it was a sort of a total package is what it was. It wasn't more money to spend. But again, all you have to do is say sales tax, bang, people turn off. They don't listen to it.
Is there any better answer?
No. There's only three ways to really basically raise money. And we have property tax, income tax, sales tax. Really, there's only three ways to. You can fuss and fiddle around, even with the lottery. You know, the lottery raises, in terms of, for state finances, $80, $90 million. Mm-hmm. Well, when we start talking, let's say, for example, school budgets. Now, this isn't all property taxes, just school budgets annually are well over $1 billion. So what's, $90 million going to do on that? You wouldn't even notice it happened. So you can fuss and fiddle around, but you have to raise large amounts of money. And the three ways I mentioned are the only ways you can do it.
So what's going to happen?
Well, I really wanted and hoped that it would occur while I was governor. I wanted to limit the growth of property taxes so that the property taxpayer was protected from this runaway growth that we had at one time in our history. It was a runaway property tax growth. But so far, we haven't even been able to agree on that. So it's interesting.
Percent and a half?
Something like that.
Yeah. Sue, Southeast, thank you for waiting. You're on KXL Midday with Governor Vicatia.
Yes, thank you. Part of my call is about the funding and the whole thing. You touched briefly on the spending limit and the budget process and the budget surplus and all of that. We elect politicians partly on the faith that they're going to do what they're saying they're going to do, and I think we've been betrayed a whole lot. Right now we have this governor who miraculously has come up with something, a set figure that we owe the Veterans Administration that will take them out of their bind after all these years, and it goes back to 1953? How did that happen? And how do we suddenly owe them $57 million for an $8 million raid on the funds there?
The interest of mistake.
The interest is what does it, but actually, in this case, it wasn't the governor. The attorney general had looked at the law and had discovered that this indeed was going on, and in fact, the legislature was borrowing, if I'll use that word, from the Veterans Department, and the amount was there, and then by the time you add the interest from way back then, and all of a sudden it mounts up.
How did we not know about it until it was enough now to bail out the Veterans Fund?
Well, that's difficult to say. You look at all possible solutions. I was working on it as a governor for 8 years. I was concerned about the veteran funds, the bonds that we'd sold, and the interest that we were being charging the veterans and all the rest of it, trying to make sure that it stayed a viable and very creditable program. But, I never thought of that particular avenue. Someone said, hey, let's take a look at that and see if, in fact, it was illegal, and the answer is yes, it was illegal, and that means the taxpayers have to pay to the Veterans Fund. That's just following the law, however. It's law's already written, and a long time ago.
Was it written in a confusing fashion that would have allowed that 53 legislature to say, okay, I don't understand it, and the greater good right now is in getting some money into this veterans loan program. So look, if it looks like we can, later on we have to fight with it, fine.
Well,
But it's going to save that program.
That could be. I faced a similar situation where it really wasn't clear. In other words, sometimes there's a question. They say, well, no, in our opinion, the question comes down on our side. And then years later, somebody says, no, that's not the way you thought it was. It's different than that. And this is what happened in this case.
Thanks very much for your call, Sue. 231-7575, two lines available. Does Denny Smith have a better idea when we come back to Midday?
There's a difference when you're flying with someone who's really trying, someone who shows how much they care.
Get down to business on Delta Airlines. Choose Delta for convenient flights anywhere you want to go on the West Coast. With four nonstops to Los Angeles and an evening nonstop to Anchorage, plus a daily nonstop to Vancouver, a through flight to San Diego, and daily service to Fairbanks. Whenever you fly Delta, you'll enjoy our award-winning personal service. No other major airline in the U.S. has a better record of passenger satisfaction than Delta. Ask your travel agent to book your next West Coast flight on Delta or call us. We make your pleasure our business. Our conversation. Lines are available at 231-7575. 231-7575. A lot of import owners think a car with a lot of import style, a lot of import features, a lot of import technology costs a lot of American cash. That's just not true, and we'll prove it with Chevy Nova. Nova's style, features, and technology are very imported, but its price, very Chevrolet. Add to that its very confident 660 warranty, and suddenly that import quality and value are no longer just imported. In fact, we feel so sure about Nova, we're offering $1,000 cash back to every import owner who buys one. Chevy Nova, because while you may admire a lot of import qualities, we doubt price is one of them. You must take retail delivery from dealer stock of a new Nova by July 5th. See your dealer for details and for the terms and conditions of the 6-year, 60,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Hi, neighbor. Pete Verlaine for Atlas Chemical and Clean and Simple Solutions. Here to remind you that you can get the best buy on pool and spa chemicals at Atlas Chemical and Clean and Simple Solutions. Atlas Chemical and Clean and Simple Solutions have a complete line of pool and spa chemicals, as well as a complete line of maintenance accessories, test kits, and solutions. Don't forget to bring in a sample of your pool or spa water for a free computerized water analysis. And while you are there, compare the quality and prices. You cannot buy better for less anywhere else. From the stabilized chlorine tablets, stabilizer and conditioner, defoamers to algicides, and muriatic acid to clean down your pool, you'll find it all at bargain prices at Atlas Chemical, located at Highway 205 and 82nd Drive where the radio towers are, and Clean and Simple Solutions at Murray Crossing, corner of Allen and Murray in Beaverton.
17 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. Former Oregon Governor Vic Atiyah is with us this morning on Midday at Allen, Dennis, Jim, and Daisy. Hang on, we'll get you in here in just a moment. But before the break, I mentioned, does Denny Smith have a better idea with his plan for mandatory incarceration for repeat offenders? Can this state afford it?
These are two really great and interesting questions. It's very difficult for me to answer. I do know this, that we do need to have more jail space. That's because of the problem that exists right now. And then repeated offenders, what you really want to do is get them off the street so they're not going to repeat. Once they get back, they're going to repeat again. So I really, rather than talk specifically to Denny's concept, I'm talking generally what I believe really has to happen. But Jim, thanks for asking the question, because I really have a soapbox I want to get onto, and this gives me the chance to do so. Right near the end of my 8 years, many reporters said, "Now, Governor, did you do something? Would you have done something different now that you look back on what you did?" My answer was quickly no, because I think about what I want to do before I do it, and then I don't second guess it. But I said there is something I wanted to do that I couldn't do. And that's incidentally part of this answer, and that's prevention. You know, and unless we start a preventive program, along with building these jails, incidentally, so I'm not saying this is in lieu of, because it's going to take a while to do it, we have to start a preventive program. We have to start emptying the pipeline. And we'll never have enough jails, police, judges. We'll never have enough if we just keep going the way we're going. In some way, we have to start preventing crime from occurring. We have to get to these young people early in life, talk about drugs and the tragedy of drugs, about the tragedy of becoming involved in crime. We have to really, there's a lot of volunteers out there working in youth groups. Those are the positive side of our society. It has to be more of that, and that has to be co-equal partners. So when I've talked to Denny about this, and Denny's on this let's put him in jail kind of thing, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I said there's another component. Unless you get going on that, you can't build enough jails. We won't be able to build enough jails. And, you know, we look at drugs for a minute. You know, I was in the retail business for a number of years. If people didn't buy from me, what happened? I go out of business. So what I'm trying to say to these drug, in terms of drug peddlers, you dry up the customers. We keep trying to catch them, and they keep doing it. They keep bringing in more. But if you dry up the customers, you don't have anybody to sell to. Well, you know, I think it's part of a program that has to be co-equal in this whole matter of more policemen right now, and I think we ought to have them, and more jails right now, I think we have to have those too. But nobody's gotten over to this other component, to empty the pipeline. Unless we do that, at the same time, we're never going to have enough.
Education, I mean, some of it has to come from the home.
That's
so,
right.
Some of it has to, I mean, some of it comes through churches for some people.
Exactly.
Schools. What else can we do?
But we're not doing enough of whatever we're doing. There's never been a concentrated program. What else can we do? I started the Oregon Games. I've been involved in athletics. I know if you get involved in athletics, your mind's busy and your body's busy, and you don't have time for popping hubcaps. And so we started the Oregon Games. Oh, it's an exciting thing now. A lot of people are involved. I did that. Youth groups were always a priority in my schedule as a governor. You know, we get a lot of requests to do things. Any youth group would come along. I'm there to help them, you know, support them. The schools certainly are part of it, homes definitely, and there's some broken homes today, makes it more difficult. Churches, I agree with all of that. Every single part of what you're saying. But that all has to be put together, and we have to work at it. The governor's children program, he's talking about taking kids that have been abused or at risk, as he calls them, and trying to do something about it. I'm talking about all youth. We're not you know, a lot of the criminals aren't what you'd call at risk. They may be well off somewhere, and they're committing crimes. So we really have to get at this whole general concept of preventing it. But that's going to take a while to empty the pipeline, but we've got to start that process. I wasn't able to do it. All I could do was to keep people in jail and take care of the abused children because of, you know, reduced budget. I wasn't able to double budget, if you will, one for prevention and one for the, let's say, the jails. Well, I didn't really answer your question about Denny, but I got my soapbox in.
I was going to come back to it. Did you sign the Smith Initiative, or is it a plan that you support?
No, I didn't sign it, but I would say generally supported. You say when it comes time to voting, would I vote for it? Probably is a question, and I'm not really sure about that. It's a matter of I know we need jails. Is that the best total plan? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Why didn't we get some during your administration? Jails.
I don't know. That also was a great disappointment to me because the Oregonians say lock them up. And fine, three times we went to them.
Stack them like cordwood.
Yep, three times we went to the people of Oregon and asked for money to build jails, and three times they said no. And I said, now wait a minute. How could you tell me lock them up, but we're not going to build jails to put them in? That's been a puzzlement to me.
That's why the man might not miss the job. Alan in Washington County, you're on KXL Midday.
Oh, hi, boy. Alan. There's a lot of stuff to comment on.
Pick one.
Okay. I'll start out with...
Alan, start out with something. I got a lot of people waiting.
Okay. The school system, in my opinion, is one of the biggest, well, it's obvious, it's one of the biggest financial burdens that we have as a society. And yet we have a lot of non-functional parts of the school system. I've always felt that one of the things that makes it expensive is that it doesn't have any competition. And I am wondering what could be done to get the school system into a competitive position so that it doesn't just merely become another kind of a large bureaucracy that loves to feed itself and get fatter and fatter and more taxes and more money and bigger and bigger and not necessarily more product. That's the big one.
Well, you know, what you're suggesting has really been of great controversy over a long period of time in the private schools and whether or not there should be public funding for private schools, and that creates that kind of a competition that exists out there. But, I can't quite agree with you. I would say I do agree to a great measure in terms of some degree of inefficiency, but the way I generally look about education in Oregon is it is very, very good. But you and I and most Oregonians want it to be better. So I don't look at it as being a lousy system, bloated and corrupt and wasting money. There are degrees of that, and I don't disagree with it. But when we look about the education of our young people in the state of Oregon and how they stack up on the SATs and the entry into colleges and universities, they're getting a good education. You want it better, I want it better, and I think we just have to keep working in that direction.
Alan, because of the number of folks that we have waiting, I'm going to have to move on. Dennis in Beaverton, thank you for waiting. You're on KXL Midday. Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, I want to disagree completely with the governor as far as sales tax is concerned. I talked with Ray Phillips, whom the governor knew before he passed away, and we discussed sales tax in regards to, I've called the station before on this, in regards to a reciprocal type. For instance, when you go to Seattle, where do you pay sales tax, or if you go to San Francisco, etc.? If we had sales tax just on arts, entertainment, sporting events, motels, hotels, restaurants, things that aren't absolutely necessary, the people would pass it overwhelmingly.
But would it be enough money?
No, but it would be a great supplement so they could reduce the taxes on your homes, which are atrocious.
Well, we already have what I would call selective sales tax, and that's what you're talking about. My earlier discussion was on what we call a general sales tax on everything. You're talking about a selective sales tax. We already have it on liquor. We have it on cigarettes. And incidentally, it collects a lot of money. And you're talking about further, probably maybe, let's say, taxing the tourist kind of thing, those things that people might go for entertainment. And that could be done. But the fact is, all you do is get more money, but you're not solving the property tax relief problem. You can't get enough money to do it that way.
Would the combination of that and lottery proceeds be enough?
No, still not. You're going to have to get something like, $700-800 million in order to have some sufficient impact on property taxes to make it worthwhile. And the only place you can get that kind of money, increased income taxes or sales tax.
Jim in North Portland on the spending limitation, and Daisy in Gladstone on education, when we come back to the conversation with former Governor Vic Atiyah on KXL Midday. Prostitute Deborah Murphy, that is Murphy, joins us this morning during the 10 o'clock hour.
And now for a few words on home security from some experts in the field. Denny J., convicted of burglary one.
Easiest entry into your houses is in the back of the house, because if you got a wind fence, all it's going to do is make your backyard look pitch black at night. But if you use your lighting and put it at the corner of your houses to cover your whole backyard, they're going to leave you alone because they don't want to mess with it.
Eddie F., ex-burglar.
If you see a house that's got big floodlights, you know, you avoid those kind of places because you're going to cast a shadow clear over in the next neighbor's yard, or somebody might see the shadow walk by. And so, you know, those are the kind of things you don't want.
Portland General Electric can shed even more light on home security. For outdoor lighting information, call 1-800-852-SAFE.
You spend most of your time looking for a place. You know, you're really concerned about whether people are at home. And like, if it's well lit, chances are they are.
Join us for a one-stop security fair Saturday, June 25th at Beaverton City Hall, sponsored by the Crime Prevention Association of Oregon, Fred Meyer, and PGE. On the road in a new Audi 80 with Sunset Porsche Audi professional Don Bailey.
Rear fog lights, a new thing that it's gained popularity in Europe. We haven't quite seen it on any other cars here in the United States yet, but it's just a matter of time before we do. What we have here is a bright red light on the back left side of the automobile. If it's foggy outside, people can see this light from a long distance away. It's actually even brighter than the brake lights. And then, of course, this model also has heated seats. So on those cold mornings, you can crank up the heated seat, and it'll warm you from underneath instead of waiting for the engine to warm up, heat up the whole automobile. Real nice feature.
Okay, that was your 0 to 60 right there, and I don't think that took more than about 7.5 or 8 seconds. And I wasn't even really pushing as hard as I could have.
The Audi at Sunset Porsche Audi Beaverton.
Already in North Portland. Jim, say good morning to former Governor Vic Atiyah.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
The question I have for you, I simplistically look at government as a seesaw. One side is the services that they offer and the expense of it, and the other side is the taxes that are required to initiate it. Now, obviously, the voters don't want to pay more taxes. What I'm curious of is why that the legislature and the executive branch of government historically haven't addressed reducing the cost of government to any effect, either by efficiency or cost accountability, sunset legislation. Can you give me some input on why none of that has been successful?
Well, you know, I have to totally disagree with you, because in the 8 years I was governor, I think we were extremely successful in reducing the cost of government. And I worked, that's because I believed in it and worked very hard at doing it. The unfortunate thing is very few people know it. We had the greatest welfare reform of any state in the union, but nobody knows that. The thing that I'm very happy about, I'm proud about, as a matter of fact, in terms, again, of welfare, we got more jobs for Oregonians at less cost than the touted Mike Dukakis. You know, you talk about his workfare program. Oregon actually, by comparison, and I have some figures on it, did much better. So that means we help people, and that means less tax dollars in terms of what the people have to spend. So I would say to you, in the 8 years I was governor, we did what you wanted done. What I was saying earlier is I'm not sure that the present governor has the same attitude about the tax dollars I did.
Thanks, Jim. Daisy in Gladstone has been waiting patiently. Daisy, you're on KXL Midday. Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
I've lived in Marion County, had part of my schooling there and part in Multnomah County. I've been in your store, and I've lived in four parts of Portland. And when I went to school there, and then later on, we could go, the ladies and men both could go to anywhere in Portland and feel safe. And the ladies could go take a streetcar and go anywhere. And now it just seems like the world is turned upside down. We don't have any laws to have reading and writing and arithmetic like it should be done.
Daisy, I tell you what, I hate to interrupt, but we're going to only have about a minute. Let me just kind of take this where you were going. She was concerned about safety here in Portland, sir, and I'm wondering if we have a current governor who is so concerned about seeming to be the governor for Portland that he's not doing anything. Should there be some sort of state intervention in the gangs problem and in the crime problem here in the city of Portland?
Well, I can't believe there isn't some in terms of some detective work, some underground work and things of that kind. We have to be very cautious about it. But I do want to say one thing is there's been a real change in society, and part of it has been over the years, less regard and respect for the family. And we really have to. We keep talking about why doesn't government do this and why doesn't government officials do this. But really, if we continue this general disregard for a family, and the family unit really is one of those, our great protection in terms of getting moral values and, you know, just knowing where the kids are kind of thing. And that's the way it was in her time. And until we really get back into something like that, we're really going to continue to have problems.
You out here politicking today?
No, I'm not. I'm not running for anything, believe me.
Former Governor Vic Attia, good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Tell the missus I said hi.
I will.
If
thank you.
Would.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks very much for coming by today, sir.
Well, it's time.